I'm going to say that's on. If you can't hear, if you cannot hear me, I can yell a little bit louder. This morning, before we get into our lesson, if you'd like to be turning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11th chapter, we'll have a few verses from there before we get into our lesson today. Be more of a topical lesson than a textual one. One of the things that I want to maybe clarify or get out in the open is over the next month while Bill's gone, if you were here this morning, James Parker did the Bible study. Over this next month, men from the congregation, various men will be doing the Bible study in the morning before our worship assembly. The 24th, we will have one of the missionaries that we support will be here. And then on the 31st, Calvin Miles from the Coleman Street congregation in Kaufman will be here. Also, during this time period, Braden, our new youth minister, he will be giving some lessons during this time period as well. So, there's good news. If you don't like me this morning, just come back next time. There'll be somebody else up here. I also figured out something this morning when I was trying to get dressed. I figured out the problem. None of my clothes fit me anymore. Now, when I preached every Sunday, my clothes were tight, but I could still get in them. So I'm blaming that on Bill. This morning, we're going to talk, and throughout the month, the times that I will be bringing the lesson, we're going to talk about building an ark. We're going to talk about building an ark. And our world today is a very unrighteous one. There are songs out today within contemporary Christian music that and a cappella Christian music that tells us to build an ark. What does that mean? Well, Noah built an ark, and we're going to start with Noah today. Noah built an ark. He built an ark in the sunshine. If we go to Hebrews 11 chapter, verses 7 and following, it says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen," in other words, no one had seen what was about to occur, about to happen, "he was warned by God. In holy fear, he built an ark." What was the purpose? To save his family. "By his faith in God's word, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith." The story of Noah we will not go into in depth this morning, but is found in the chapters of Genesis 6, 7, and 8. And we'll be looking at just a few things from Noah's time. Within the scripture that we just read, and within Genesis, the 6th chapter. Genesis 6, starting in verse 14, God is recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible reads, "So make yourself an ark of cypress wood." Verse 15, "This is how you are to build it." God instructed Noah about his covenant. Verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you when you enter the ark that you are to build." Noah built his ark in sunshine, and I would submit to you this morning that we should as well, as I take my glasses off so I can see, as Bill instructed us last week. Noah built his ark in sunshine. In other words, he prepared in advance for a storm that was to come. A storm that he had been warned about but had not yet seen. He didn't wait until the last minute. In fact, Noah took preparations for 120 years. For 120 years, he built the work. He built the ark as he worked at being a preacher of righteousness and trying to save others. He used the days and sunshine to get himself ready for the days that were to come. He used those bright days to build up resources that he would need when the dark floodwaters descended upon the earth. the great people of faith, as we can read throughout Hebrews 11th chapter and throughout God's Word in general, the 66 books of the Bible, we can see that they have used faith throughout their time period to prepare themselves for the days that were yet to come. In modern history, there was a German minister by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a noted German theologian. You can buy his books in almost any bookstore today, Christian or otherwise. He was a good example of someone who used his good days to prepare for the bad times that were to come. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in a Nazi prison camp April 9th, 1945, shortly before the end of World War II. He had been captured and imprisoned by the Gestapo because of his commitment to God, his opposition to and resistance to Hitler, and his opposition to the Nazi government. In prison and in concentration camps for 2 years, Bonhoeffer was a great inspiration to the other prisoners that was around him. Because of his unwavering courage, his confidence in the Lord, his unselfishness, his goodness, his deep spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude to God, even in that kind of imprisoned existence, he inspired even the Nazi guards who watched over him. In fact, some of the guards, it's recorded, became so attached to him that they risked their own lives and smuggled out of prison his prayers, his papers, his writings, his poems that we have today. They even at times apologized to him for having to lock his cell door after they made their daily rounds in the courtyard. Bonhoeffer's main concern in prison was to minister to others, his fellow prisoners. He preached to them, he taught them, he led them in worship services, he counseled them, he ministered unto them in their sickness and sorrow. His ability to comfort the anxious and depressed was nothing short of amazing, as people who have recorded it and lived through the process. God was using him, God was working through him, and somehow the people around him sensed that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer every day, even a day in prison, was a day for serving God. It was a day for thanking God, and it was a day in which to share God with others. Before his execution on April the 9th, Bonhoeffer, in the concentration camp, wrote a morning prayer, which was his custom, because he would write it out on paper that he wasn't supposed to have, and he would give it to the prison guards. And the prison guards would start to read it, and it would be passed to another guard, it would be passed to somebody else in the prison camp. He thanked God for a restful night, for a new day, for his faithful blessings. He asked God to give him strength to handle the difficult situation and still be faithful in his own discipleship. He prayed that God would enable him to be strong in his faith, his hope, and his love to others. He remembered to God his loved ones. Then he closed his morning prayer with an incredible statement: "Lord, whatever this day may bring, may your name be praised." If you think of that last statement in the situation in which it was made, "Lord, whatever this day may bring, may your name be praised." The Apostle Paul wrote similar words in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 when he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We can see strong examples of the spiritual commitment and maturity that they both had. But the question today is, as we build an ark, how do we get there? How do we pray, "Whatever this day may bring, may your name be praised"? How do we reach that level of spiritual maturity? How can we thank God for those things? That kind of faith and spiritual maturity doesn't happen overnight. We have to grow it. We have to work at faith. We have to express it. We have to practice it. We have to study God's Word. We have to share our faith. And as we do, our faith will grow. And our gratitude towards God and what He's done for us and the sharing of His Son for the sins of the world will grow as well. One young man heard a minister preach one time, and he said, "If I could only have faith like him, I would be a Christian." They were at a gospel meeting, to which his friend replied, "Yes, but that faith didn't happen overnight. It's been growing for over 40 years. Many psychologists tell us that Thanksgiving is learned, and I believe it is learned. We have to learn to be grateful. We have to learn to be thankful, and we have to grow in spiritual maturity. The story of Noah is very helpful for us, and that's why this Noah built his ark in sunshine. Some of the kids I coached, when they graduate, they go to various Christian colleges, and a couple of them went up to Harding one year, and they're both Bible majors, and one actually now is about 34. He's a minister over at one of the congregations in Mansfield. And when he came back, I never will forget what Michael told me. He says, I asked him, I said, are you doing good? You taking care of your studies? You doing well? And he says, oh, yeah. He says, I learned a lot of things in Arkansas. And I says, really, what? And he says, well, did you know Arkansas is the only state in the Bible? And I was like, what are they teaching you, son? And he says, yeah. He says, Noah looked out the ark and saw. I said, you need to go back to Harding. Another fellow identified Noah when he wrote these words. When Noah sailed the ocean blue, he had his troubles same as you. For 40 days he was in the ark before he found a place to park. Think about that next time you're at Walmart on Saturday. The story of Noah and his ark can be found in Genesis, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th chapters, but it can be best understood in the total context of the book of Genesis. It's a dramatic story. It's a story, I think, that brings us three important points about faith, gratitude, and spiritual strength that we can take with us today. Number one, as the title of the lesson is, Noah built his ark in sunshine. In other words, Noah prepared in the sunshine for the flood that was to come. No doubt, during the 120 years, people heard his message. People heard that there was a flood coming. People heard that it was going to rain. People heard that the world was going to be destroyed. And no doubt, knowing that humanity and mankind has not changed through all these years, no doubt there were people that laughed at him, people that made fun of him, people that told him what he was doing was ridiculous and unnecessary. And the sun was still shining. Why waste time building an ark? But Noah kept on building. And when the troubled waters came, he was prepared. He was ready. He was equipped. And he was able to ride out the storm because God was with him. We need to build an ark on our sunny days. We need to prepare for the troubled waters and troubled times that lay ahead of each and every one of us, because somewhere down the road, there's a flood and it's waiting for us. And if we haven't prepared, and if we haven't built up our inner resources, it will sweep us under and it'll sweep us away, maybe to our own destruction. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, as he ended his Sermon on the Mount, probably the greatest sermon ever given, and certainly probably the most well-known sermon ever given. He said, the people that hear these words of mine and put them into practice are like the wise man. For when the rains come, the house that is built upon these teachings will stand. But those who hear my words and do not practice them, or do not put them into practice, when the waters come, when the rains fall, when the bad things in life happen, the house will be washed away, and great will be its fall. We need to make sure that we build up our inner resources. A man once said to a friend of mine, he said, I need help because I'm losing my sight. I'm going blind, and all the money in the world that I have can't help me. I don't know what to do. I have all the inner resources to cope with financials and to cope with making sure my family's provided for, but I have no inner resources to cope with this thing that's happening to me. All this time and all these years, I've given my attention, energy to the wrong priorities in life. I've learned and leaned my weight on things that cannot help me now. This man had not built his ark in the sunshine, and when the floods came, there was nothing there to hold him up. He was not ready for them. Recently, there was a woman who had lost her husband from another congregation. And I contacted her on Facebook. Those of you that follow me know I'm a Facebooker. And when I saw her, her reply was, "Over the years, I've heard many sermons on suffering and been in on many Sunday school discussions on sorrow and experiences in life. And those experiences at the church are helping me much more so now than they did when I heard them. I know God didn't do this to me, and I'm not blaming God. In fact, I know God is with me now as never before. I can feel His presence and His strength. And I'm grateful to the church and my brothers and sisters in Christ for preparing me for this hour, and to God for being with me in it." She had built an ark. She had used her years in sunshine, so when the flood of tragedy came, she was ready. We need to always be ready. There's a story of an 11-year-old girl who listened to the radio station every day. And, you know, radio stations will do anything to get you to listen to them. You know, sometimes even giving money away. Story is that this radio station was giving money away. And this girl had been listening to the radio station every day that she could. And then the one day that she didn't listen to it, to know the secret word, the radio station called her. And she says, they asked her, they said, "Do you know the word of the day?" And she says, "No, I'm not listening today, but I listen every other day." And the radio host says, "Well, why didn't you listen today?" And she says, "If I'd known you were going to call me today, I would have listened today." And unfortunately, a lot of us have that same preparatory attitude. We know that bad times will come, we just don't know when. We don't know what the day will bring, but if we built an ark in sunshine, we can say and we can mean it, "Lord, whatever this day may bring, may your name be praised." Noah built an ark in the sunshine, and so should we. Point number two, if you read the story of Noah in chapter 6 and 7, when Noah went inside the ark and he took seven pairs of clean animals and a pair of unclean animals, and they went into the ark. You know, we tell our kids, "Two, I tell you, they went in the ark." That's not true. Okay, there were seven of clean animals and a pair of unclean animals that went into the ark. When Noah and his family went into the ark and the animals were in the ark, Noah didn't shut the door. God did. He trusted God to close the door behind him. And he also trusted that one day that door would open again when the time was right. Noah didn't know what the future held, but he knew that God was his future, his hope, his salvation. And in childlike surrender, he let God close the door. And he trusted that God would have it open in the future in his own time and in his own way. That's a kind of obedient childlike trust. It's a basic element in our own spiritual maturity. There are times in life when we know that we don't have all the answers. And we don't. We're like Noah. We don't know the future. We don't know when the rain's going to start, but we know that the rain will come. We have to fall back on God and trust in Him. Jesus taught, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, would I have told you? And if it is, and I go away, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also." None of us have seen the place that Jesus has gone to prepare, but do we believe in that place? I think if you're here this morning, the answer is yes. You do believe in that place. And if we believe in the good places, we also need to understand and believe and trust in God and leave that unseen future in God's hands, and He'll take care of it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer exhibited that kind of trust. One gentleman wrote about him after his death who knew him in prison. He said he was a giant before men because he was like a child before God. He trusted that God would take care of him. The noted poet Ralph Waldo Emerson, reflecting on the death of his own son, wrote these words, "All that I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I have not seen. In other words, the Creator can handle the things that are in my future much better than I can. And if He can, why should I not trust Him? It was Job who said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Third and finally, Noah built his ark in the sunshine. Noah let God close the door. And number three, and the last point today, Noah fell on his knees and he thanked God. It's interesting to note, if you read the story about Noah, when Noah came out of the ark with his family and the animals, the first thing that he did in Genesis, the 8th chapter, verses 13 and following, specifically 20, was to build an altar to God. He thanked God for his deliverance and for God's presence with him. Mature thanksgiving is not dependent on the number of possessions that we have. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving, true thanksgiving to God, is not dependent on the number of possessions that we have. They're frosting on the cake. You see, a genuine Christian, someone who trusts God with childlike trust and leaves the future in His hands, praises God for His greatest gift, and that's the gift of Himself, the gift of His own love, His Son, for the sins of the world. Story is told as we conclude about a preacher who stood up on Thanksgiving Day and told the church, "Let us be thankful for our good health." And 20 people who were sick got up and left the building. Preacher went on, he says, "Let's thank God for our homes." 10 people who had no homes got up and left the church. "Let us thank God for beauty and wonderful minds that we have." 10 more people who didn't feel that they were beautiful or intelligent got up and left too. Nobody's getting up, so that was a match with everybody, right? I got you, yeah. I had to throw that in there. You know, a little levity goes a long way. "Let's give thanks for friends." And 10 people who felt they had no friends got up and left the building too. "Let's give thanks for justice." 5 people left who felt there was no justice. Finally, the preacher looked out over an empty auditorium and he wondered why the sanctuary was empty. He thought to himself as everyone had left that God's word did not promise wholeness of body, health, or earthly comfort. When did God's word ever promise us friends or beauty or intelligence in this life? Then he remembered Job. And he remembered Jesus. The preacher looked into the open sanctuary and he says, "I'm going to have to give a different message tonight." So that night, much like tonight, if you don't like this message, the message will be different. He thought of Job in Job 13:15. It says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He thought of the dying words of Jesus, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the preacher finally understood the only thing that we're certain of in this life is God. God gives Himself to us, and that's all that matters. He gave His Son to us, and it's what counts. He showed His love to us, and that's what makes the difference. He provided a way for us to be with Him forever, and that should make the difference in our life and the lives of those we try to love as well. Noah built his ark in the sunshine. He let God close the door. He trusted that God would reopen it sometime down the way. He fell on his knees and he thanked God and worshiped God. Lord, may we find the strength within ourselves to do these three little things of Noah, so that when our time comes and we get up tomorrow, we can say, "Lord, whatever this day may bring, thank you. And may your name be praised."
James picked an invitation song this morning. You've listened well. I'm sorry it's not a textual sermon, one that I'm more apt to do, but hopefully it's been beneficial to you in some way. This morning, if you haven't put Christ on in baptism and you wish to do so and proceed to do so, and you believe that He's the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that, we stand ready, willing, and able to assist you in making your commitment to God for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that, you need the prayers from the church. If you have spiritual needs or concerns, we can help you with here at Crandall. Please make that known while together we sing. And while we sing.
Would you be free from the power?